702.
Africa at a glance.
Africa at a glance, 13 minutes after 10 o'clock, and my guest Adebayo Abdulrahman, and Adebayo is joining me to chat about these issues and more. And this is just around the issues of the recent election in Nigeria, where he is a journalist, fact checker, climate justice ambassador, and multiple award-winning public speaker. Adebayo, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome, and welcome to 702. Let's try.
Hello.
Okay. I heard you there a little bit, Adebayo. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello, good evening.
Oh, good evening. Good evening.
Yeah. So the pronunciation is Adebayo Abdulrahman. Okay.
Abdulrahman. Okay. Thank you so much. Please bear with me. I'm sorry I butchered your surname. It was not my intention.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Absolutely. No, it's fine.
Great stuff. I'll try to do better as we go along. But firstly, I mean, Adebayo, this is quite worrying. I mean, the official voter turnout in the previous election was set to be at about 26%, just over 26%. And it was said to be the lowest turnout that Nigeria has seen since civilian rule in 1999. And apparently it accounts for barely 12% of the country's 220 million population. And what do we attribute this to? Is it only the issue of technology, or are there other factors there too?
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. And the thing is this, at the moment, the consensus among both, the consensus is that the consensus is that the poor voters turnout is due to either, what's called a diversity of factors, like it's a lot of factors that came together. Now, to start with, yeah, like you said, rightly said, we recorded 26.7% voters turnout, and that's like the poorest in the country's democratic, the country's return to democracy in 1999. And the issue is this, going into this election, because generally the assumption is that Nigeria has a very poor voters turnout because young people who represent the largest voters voting bloc in the country are disinterested in the democratic process. But due to a lot of issues that happened during the second, over the last few 3 to 4 years, so right from 2020 when the NSAS protests and the crisis that happened, a lot of young people became interested in the process or in the democratic process in the country. So these young people, it's led to a lot of enthusiasm going into this election. So the general belief among and consensus in the civic space going into this election is that if these young people come out the same way, with the level of enthusiasm they are showing in the process, the voters' turnout is going to rise. And on the day of the election, when observers all over the country observed it was good, an increased increased number of young people coming out to vote in various parts of the country. But as the results began to trickle in, it became obvious that the voters' turnout was not going to increase. I mean, last year we had 30-something percent, and this time around, rather than increase or remain at that same level, it fell to an historically low, points, all-time low of 26.7%. So the question is why? Now, the thing is this, like I said earlier, there are a lot of factors responsible for this. The first one is that there's some sort of link. We are now looking at some sort of link between the application of technology and voters turnout in the country. Take, for instance, before now, generally, right from when we returned to democracy in 1999, the electoral process was entirely manual. However, in 2007, that was the first time that Nigeria attempted to introduce some sort of technology to the voting process. However, that year, it was applied only for the process of what's it called? It was applied only for voter screening and not for the, it was not applied for the, what's it called, the voting process. It was applied for the registration process. Now, that election is controversial and all of that. But by the time you move on to 2015, when we introduced Smart Card Reader, and now 2020, we discover that anytime there's a major introduction of technology, there is a very, very significant fall in the percentage of voters' turnout. In 2015, when we introduced Smart Card Reader that prevents that accredits voters, we've recorded a 10% fall in the level, in the percentage of voters turnout. This time around, we are experiencing almost 10%. Of course, correlation does not always equal causation, like I rightly stated. But the point is, it is a source of concern. And I mean, considering the fact that our elections have always been marked with a lot of irregularities and questions about overvoting, about overvoting and all of that. But aside from that, there are also questions about voter suppression on the day of the election across the country, especially in major places like Lagos and various parts of the Southeast and South. A lot of young people came out to vote, but they were suppressed by... Now, this is where the biggest problem that we observed is that on the day of the election, we've studied the data now. And now this is why a lot of opposition parties are saying there's some sort of deliberate, the process was deliberately engineered to have a certain outcome. Now, I'm going to explain. The country is divided along, the country has six geopolitical zones.
Sure.
Going into this election, the Southeast and the South, those two geopolitical zones, the Southeast is that's the political zone where the presidential candidates of the Labour Party, one of the opposition parties, who is the top force, were going to the election. That's where it comes from. And I mean, that automatically makes that place is supports stronghold. Then the South is where the vice presidential candidate of the PDP, Ifeanyi Okowa, that's where he hails from Delta State. That state is also supposed to be a stronghold for his party. So that means those two places were stronghold of the opposition. Now, on the day of the election, this data from Yaga Africa indicates that on the day of the election, as at 9:30 a.m. on the day of the election, that's the election was supposed to start by 8:30. Electoral officials were supposed to get to the polling units by 7:30. But by 9:30, that's 2 hours after INEC officials were supposed to be at the polling units. Now, look at the data. The two regions that are the strongest stronghold of the opposition had recorded INEC officials had gotten to only barely 20% of polling units there. Just in fact, to be specific, the Southeast where Peter Obi comes from, voting had already commenced in only 10% of polling units, and the South, voting had commenced in only 29%. Now, however, the other parts of the country, the Southwest, the Northwest, North Central, and Northeast, recorded a total where it was at that moment, INEC officials had gotten to at least 42% of polling units. That's like two times what we experienced, what we recorded in those places. So the reason why this is questionable, so by the time the full result is out and we are looking at the breakdown of data of voters turnout, we saw that there's some sort of direct relationship between the time of arrival of INEC officials in each region and the percentage of voters turnout recorded. What we now had is a situation whereby more people came out to vote in certain places than the number of people that were able to vote. Think, for instance, a polling unit, 10 people came out to vote, but because INEC officials got late, let's say a polling unit, 10 people were registered to vote there, then out of those 10 people, 66 people came out to vote, but because INEC officials arrived late, three people were able to vote. That means what we have in that kind of place is 30% voters turnout, instead of 60%, which is supposed to... So that's the other question. And aside from that, we have other issues about mobility issues.
Yeah, before we move to other issues, let's just stick around to this one, just to make sure that we all understand one another. And in this instance, would what you have said that some polling units were not necessarily taken into consideration, like where you are saying that where Peter Obi of the Labour Party comes from, you said it comes from the South.
Southeast.
And in this in this instance, is this an allegation that there was a deliberate intention not to draw polling results from some areas, knowing that they are a stronghold of opposition parties, and where PDP had strongholds, the polling units were withdrawn in as many numbers as possible?
Well, thank you for that question. The thing is this. It's at the moment, this election is the first time that electoral materials were locally produced in the country. So a few days before the election, observation from various civil society indicates that sensitive materials required for the electoral process had gotten to each state, and the state had begun to distribute them to their various localities. So now, that automatically means that ideally there's no the question of logistical is not supposed to arise. Fine. But now, if it's going to arrive, the pattern that we are looking at, this is what data says. The pattern that the data is showing is questionable. It's questionable. And like I said, correlation does not always equal causation. But the pattern here is too vivid. It's too obvious for it to be a coincidence. That's why the people in the civil society, in the civic space, and a lot of Nigerians believe the electoral committee has questions to answer. Because of that, the percentage of voters turnout now look at it. The places that recorded the two lowest, the Southeast and South-South, that recorded the two lowest, highest late arrival of INEC officials, they had a voters turnout of just 20%. Now, when you compare that to other regions where INEC officials got there relatively earlier, they had voters turnout of 31%, 30%, 28%. That's almost you can see the you see that if you look at the pattern through which Nigerians voted in this election, a lot of Nigerians voted along regional lines. Now, the reason why it's questionable is if we recorded the same range of percentage, or in terms of percentage, of voters turnout across all regions, the results of the election we have is too close. That means it could have gone either way. Do you get my point? So that's why the consensus in Nigeria civic space is that the electoral commission, the electoral body, has questioned to answer.
Yeah, Adebayo, let's clearly the issue of also technology coming into play, and that might have a direct effect on the election outcome. And we see that the four candidates who were participating in this election, they also have raised serious opposition against the outcomes of the election results. One of them is Atiku Abubakar of People's Democratic Party. Peter Obi of Labour Party, and Solomon David Irube Okanigbu of Action Alliance, and Princess Chichi, who was the only female in this presidential candidate, and from the Allied People's Movement. They are saying that another election should be held. The results, the current results, should be scrapped altogether, and a fresh election should be held. In this instance, without the winner of the elections, because they are facing charges of sorts in the US. And how are Nigerians taking this situation, and what is the likelihood of this to happen?
To start with, historically, no presidential election in Nigerian, in the history of democracy in Nigeria has ever been annulled. In fact, as a matter of fact, the most controversial election we had, which is the one that, the one that was closest to being overturned, that's the 2007 election, that till today, the electoral body does not have a state-by-state breakdown of the results it announced. That was the year people were still on the queue to vote, and results were being announced. It's a very funny election. Yeah. But yeah, the thing is this, that something has not happened before does not mean it's not possible. I've personally read the petition of the two leading opposition parties, that Atiku Abubakar and Peter Obi. And going by the electoral committee, the electoral law, country's new electoral law, which was signed last year, the electoral law is clear. It's clear in the sense that the result from each polling unit must be electronically transmitted. That was something that caused serious issue Now, however, INEC failed in this regard, because the reason why that was introduced is that it automatically reduces the was takes away the chain of custody of results from polling units before we start a lot of ballots was a box snatch, in the sense that in the process from the poll for in between place where between the polling units where presiding officers have to like carry the results to the collation center, a lot of what's called non-state actors, a lot of political thugs attack they attack them, they change results and all of that. But to solve that's why INEC introduced the electronic transmission of results was introduced. However, during the election, during the presidential election, in majority of polling units in the country, in fact, 2 weeks after the election, INEC was still transmitting results on its portal, and it already announced winner a few days after. I mean, if you are announcing winners a few days after, if you are still uploading results several days after you had announced the winner, I mean, it's obviously a genuine question that opposition parties should ask. And we now have a situation whereby the results uploaded on the portal is different from the results that people actually, what's called, people actually, a lot of people snap after counting the votes in their various polling units. A lot of, we saw a lot of results uploaded on portal that been clearly shared. I mean, when you look at the results, you see results that were changed. Okay, so it's a genuine question, but about whether, but however, now it's now a case for it's a case for the courts to determine. Like some have argued, some are saying it's a test for Nigeria's judiciary, and of course there are also skeptics who believe that Nigeria's judiciary is not going to obtain the presidential result. But I'm of the opinion that if it's, I mean, we've had similar EQM scenario in places like Kenya, so it's not entirely out of place for the courts to obtain the president result of the presidential election. Personally, I feel like there are a lot of grounds that a lot of genuine arguments from the two leading opposition parties. But the question is whether this argument is enough for the Supreme Court to consider it, for the Supreme Court to say it's the election should be upturned. We'll have to find out in the next 180 days.
Now, before we say goodbye, Adebayo, I just want to find out from you, where to from here? Because some people will argue that obviously the losing parties at the polls will always come up with excuses as to why they believe the election was not fair. They will always make up excuses. It's not unique to Nigeria. It's not unique to Africa. We saw it. Also in what might have been termed previously the capital of democracy in the US, where Trump was also questioning the outcome of an election. That is typical of those who might have lost. They just don't want to concede defeat very easily. They feel compelled to come up with excuses. So where to from here for Nigeria, especially with such a low turnout, and especially with people not necessarily with the outcome not necessarily being reflective, because 12% is not reflective of really the bigger mandate of a country as huge as Nigeria of over 220 people.
Yeah, to start with, about whether about opposition parties always having excuses when they lose election. Of course, yeah, right. It's kind of synonymous with democracy and all of that. But I think for this election, as someone who observed the election first and who was on the field, who has reported extensively on the various controversies that trailed and have trailed the election, I think the opposition parties have strong, genuine, and constructive arguments, and they have strong grounds for them to challenge the results. There are a lot of questionable grounds for them to challenge the results. However, like I said, the court will have to determine that. But where do we go from here? The thing is, this election, the kind of enthusiasm that we recorded going into this particular election, especially among young people. See, the thing is, the reason why this young people's angle is very, very important is since return to democracy in 1999, young Nigerians have never showed the level of interest. I mean, the generality of young, the level of interest they showed in this election. So I mean, even to the election, I have friends. People were all over the place. Young people, somewhere they were. You need to see young people on social media a day to election on the morning of the election. People are like, I could not sleep overnight. You know, that kind of enthusiasm, and it's one thing if the candidates they supported had lost. It's one thing if he had lost in a few and fair scenario. They could have felt like, okay, we'll try again and all of that. But it's another thing if the circumstances through under which the candidates they support actually lost is questionable, and the irregularities that mar the process is like vivid and all of that. I mean, places like Lagos, young people we are not allowed to vote, and a lot of these young people, when they finish voting and counting votes in their polling units, ANEC officials could not upload results. They said they had data issues and all of that. These guys brought out their Wi-Fi and turned on hotspots that just upload results. And you still could not. Again, you need to understand the level of enthusiasm.
Mm.
And later on, when they saw the results on the portal, it's different from what they snapped.
Sure.
Okay, so it's a question of where we go from here. It's something we'll have to wait and find out. It's a question of whether the resilience that Nigerians have shown over the decades, whether young Nigerians would hold on to that resilience,
sure,
and remain a key part of the democratic process, or whether they'll gradually get decision, they'll get lose yeah. interest in the system. I think it's a question that only time can answer.
Sure. Adebayo, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. I hope that we can chat again in the near future. Sadly, we've ran out of time, and I would love for us to engage on these issues moving forward. Perhaps you're a Nigerian staying in South Africa. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702, 011-883-0702. Adebayo Abdulrahman is a Nigerian journalist, fact checker, climate justice ambassador, and multiple award-winning public speaker. He was joining us to discuss the issue of Nigerians who have just gone to the polls of recent, and how technology played a role, might have played a role, in dissuading voters to pitch for the ballot at that particular time. And it is now 25 minutes to 11 o'clock. When we come back, I would love to hear from you, given the state of Nigeria and the voter apathy that is so scary, standing at 12% of people voting for a nation of 220,000. Are we far away from that as South Africa? Is there a point where South Africa's voter apathy is going to be so desperate, so little, so minimal, that it really questions the legitimacy of the party that might have won elections? Voter apathy, what can we do about it?